It is May 18th, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast includes commentary from our Hits and Takes section of JLN, stories from the First Read section of today's newsletter, a listing of the top three stories of yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories of the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The CFTC has assigned advisory committee sponsorships amid the commission's new commissioners. Commissioner Kristen N. Johnson will sponsor the Market Risk Advisory Committee. Commissioner Christy Goldsmith Romero will sponsor the Technology Advisory Committee. Commissioner Summer Mercinger will sponsor the Energy and Environmental Markets Advisory Committee. Commissioner Carolyn D. Pham will sponsor the Global Markets Advisory Committee. And Chairman Rostam Benham will sponsor the Agriculture Advisory Committee. The CME Group has awarded the CME Group MSRI Prize in Innovative Quantitative Applications to University of Chicago Economics Professor Nancy Stokey. The CME Group MSRI Prize recognizes individuals who contribute original concepts in mathematical, statistical, or computational methods for the study of markets behavior and global economics. Stokey's recent work has focused on economic growth and development, as well as the role of trade and technology transfers in accelerating growth in middle-income countries. CME Group's Terry Duffy must feel a little better today about the rebuke he received from his shareholders for a big pay package his board proposed for him after JP Morgan's Jamie Dimon had the same thing happen to him. Only 31% of shareholders voted for Dimon's remuneration plan. Dorothy Bobag Zielinski, formerly of the OCC and the NFA, has joined FTX as Director of Compliance. Congratulations to Dorothy on her new job. At the OCC, Karen Bilek in the Legal Services Department spent a lot of time to help update and modernize the Options Disclosure Document, or ODD, working with the OCC leadership, regulators, and clearing members to streamline the document and increase its user-friendliness. She was recognized for this work with a framed version of the new ODD signed by our OCC Executive Chairman Craig Donohue, CEO John Davidson, and COO Scott E. Warren. Have you donated to the Kilt Challenge yet to support Pat Kenny's fundraising for Futures for Kids at IDX? There's a link in today's newsletter to do so. The FIA is holding the FIA Forum Commodities 2022 in Houston, Texas on June 21st and 22nd at the Houstonian. This event is to tackle the issues that are top of mind for physical commodity and derivatives market participants and service providers in energy, agriculture, and metals. For more details and to register, you can click on a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. Here is an advertisement from our friends at FIA. FIA's International Derivatives Expo is returning to the brewery in London this coming June 6th to 8th. Standing still is not an option in today's evolving clear derivatives environment. Without adapting to new products, processes, technologies, and regulations, your business won't meet the needs of tomorrow's industry. We're bringing together industry leaders, vendors, and policymakers to discuss what's now in derivatives and what lies ahead. You can click on a link in today's newsletter to register for the event. Here's a story from Bloomberg. NSA probing reach of software from Russia's Kaspersky in U.S. systems. U.S. fears Kremlin could use software to penetrate key sectors. Kaspersky has denied improper ties to the Russian government. The National Security Agency is investigating the extent that software made by the Russian cybersecurity company Kaspersky is embedded in U.S. businesses and organizations amid rising security concerns arising from Russia's invasion of Ukraine. I am still very worried about U.S. companies that are using Kaspersky, said Rob Joyce, the NSA's director of cybersecurity, in an interview which he revealed the inquiry. We think that this is ill-advised with the global situation. My comment. There is a lack of trust between the U.S. intelligence services and Kaspersky going back a while. In 2018, Natalia Kaspersky, the CEO of the InfoWatch group of companies and the co-founder of Kaspersky Labs, delivered a presentation with one slide reading, "Bitcoin is a project of American intelligence agencies which was designed to provide quick funding for U.S., British, and Canadian intelligence activities in different countries." Here's a story from Bloomberg. Mark Andreessen laments American veto-ocracy. The It's Time to Build investor spoke at a tech conference in Washington about the trouble with building things. The U.S. has lost its ability to build big projects and produce goods, venture capitalist Mark Andreessen lamented Tuesday during an appearance at a technology conference in Washington hosted by autonomous vehicle software company Applied Intuition. The billionaire investors cited examples of major accomplishments from an earlier era like the Hoover Dam, the Golden Gate Bridge, the Manhattan Project, and said that the U.S., which has always prided itself on production, has let its advantages atrophy in recent decades. It's a thesis that Andreessen, who co-founded the venture firm Andreessen Horowitz, has been speaking and writing about since the first few months of the COVID-19 pandemic, when he saw that the country was struggling to provide enough protective equipment to healthcare workers. My comment, saying no is easy. Building the Hoover Dam is not. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Alliance cooperator used bathroom break to run out on the SEC. A former portfolio manager for the Alliance SE unit that agreed to pay $5.8 billion over the implosion of its hedge funds in 2020 saw no escape from the questioning of the SEC lawyers. So Stephen Bond Nelson excused himself to use the bathroom and never returned, at least not until he decided to plead guilty and cooperate in the investigation of fraud. My comment, this is the second most popular escape, or called escape number two. This is a story from Bloomberg. 30 years after my father helped bring McDonald's to Russia, it's quitting the country. He was one of dozens of managers who brought the Golden Arches to Pushkin Square. There's a picture of me and of a monkey from sometime in 1990 sitting in front of the first McDonald's ever open in Russia. Over my shoulder, you can see the metal barricades that had been erected in the restaurant's first months to control the tens of thousands of people who lined up for a Big Mac and fries. On Monday, McDonald's Corp said it would exit Russia after more than 30 years of operation in the country. The fast food chain was one of the first Western brands to set up shop in Russia just before the fall of the Soviet Union. My comment, the spirit of McDonald's is still there. There is an ember somewhere in Russia that can grow from its own crock. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Stetson's iconic cowboy hat triggers dispute with Haberdasher, inventor of the 10-gallon hat, says manufacturer RHE Hatco doesn't hold exclusive rights under 35-year-old deal. 10-gallon cowboy hat inventor John B. Stetson Company says a distributor is trying to pilfer the rights to sell the head covering of choice for the likes of Buffalo Bill Cody and John Wayne. The 157-year-old company wants a Delaware judge to find RHE Hatco, Inc., a maker and seller of Western chapeaux, doesn't have an exclusive authority under a 1987 license to sell Stetsons through retail or e-commerce sites. Stetson no longer possesses a copy of the 35-year-old contract, according to a May 11th lawsuit. My comment. I have heard of all hat and no cattle. This is no hat and no cattle. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our most clicked article yesterday was our FIA Boca 2022 interview with trading technology CEO Keith Todd, Trading Technologies CEO Keith Todd had plenty to announce at FIA Boca 2022 and expects even more later this year. Second most read was just giving FIA give a penny to Kenny, IDX Gala Kilt Challenge, and we hope you are giving. Third was Gary Kasbrough's opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal, This is no time to go wobbly on Russia. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is from Asset Servicing Times. London Stock Exchange Group to buy market data solutions provider May Street. London Stock Exchange Group, or LSEG, has announced that it will purchase market data solutions provider May Street. The deal is expected to be completed by the end of the second quarter 2022, with May Street becoming part of the exchange's group enterprise data solutions business within its data and analytics division. This will build on an existing partnership between the two companies, which May Street is supporting the development of LSEG's real-time direct data feed. May Street is also providing market data to the SEC's Market Information Data Analytics System, MIDAS, through a contract that began in 2019. Here's a story from the New York Times. How a trash-talking crypto bro caused a $40 billion crash. Do Kwon, a South Korean entrepreneur, hyped the Luna and Terra USD cryptocurrency. Their failures have devastated some traders, though not the investment firms that cashed out early. Do Kwon, a trash-talking entrepreneur from South Korea, called the cryptocurrency he created in 2018 my greatest invention. In countless tweets and interviews, he trumpeted the world-changing potential of the currency Luna, rallying a band of investors and supporters he proudly referred to as lunatics. Here's a story from Bloomberg. A crypto first. What happens when a Bitcoin-like Terra dies? Collapse of Terra USD stablecoin threatens entire ecosystem. Users and app developers are likely to leave for other efforts. The crypto world has been riveted by the rapid collapse of the Terra USD stablecoin, but its implosion may bring about something just as noteworthy, the death of a major blockchain. The Terra blockchain, the platform supporting scores of other decentralized applications that let users swap crypto coins and earn yields, has halted and then restarted twice in recent days, as the value of its main cryptocurrency, Luna, and the related Terra USD stablecoin collapsed following a wave of selling pressure. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.